I wrote in my March newsletter article that my former teacher and well-known spiritual theologian Matthew Fox speaks of the vital balance between being a mystic and being a prophet. By mystic, he means a person whose heart and consciousness are deeply open to the simple yet sublime mysteries and gifts of life. Music and art, loving relationships, a connection with nature, sharing food and friendship, and anything else that puts us in touch with life's beauty and blessings. To these, the mystic in us cries a resounding yes, and spontaneously responds with joy, awe, and gratitude. In short, the mystic is a lover of life. By prophet, Fox means a defender of life, a person whose heart and consciousness are just as open to life's afflictions and injustices as to its blessings, and who seeks to relieve suffering both in one's immediate sphere and systemically. Just as the mystic says yes to life's graces, the prophet stands up and proclaims no to that which diminishes or destroys life's dignity and majesty. And Matthew Fox says that we need both these traits to be spiritually balanced. Because the mystic alone can become a cockeyed optimist, blind to moral wrongdoing and numb to its agonizing consequences. And the prophet alone can grow cynical and contemptuous, deaf to the transcendent music of the spheres that plays above and beyond the fray. In my last few talks, I've leaned into the prophetic side, into more weightier and heavier ends of the spectrum, and certainly there are serious things happening in the world and in our country to which we need to pay close attention. But tomorrow is the first day of spring, a seasonal moment when diverse cultures throughout the world and throughout history have celebrated the triumph of light and the renewed life of earth. So today, in the spirit and in the service of spiritual balance, I turn to poetry and story and ritual to help us bring us into this spirit of renewal and nurturance. Spring is a time to plant seeds both physically and metaphorically, to envision our future and affirm our capacity to cultivate and ultimately harvest our desires. So I'm going to share several poems and offer minimal comments on some of them. And as you hear them, I just invite you to reflect on what calls to your heart in this season of growth. What might you want to plant in your life and tend for the summer months so that you can reap the spiritual, emotional, and/or practical benefits come fall? If you already know, I hope that one or more of our poems will deepen your contemplation. And if you're not sure, I hope you'll sense the stirring of new possibility. After this, I'll invite us to symbolically plant our hopes and dreams and plants, and plans, rather, and we'll say more on that when we reach that point. So here we go. Maybe some of you wish to cultivate an attitude of gratitude more fully in your life. And both traditional wisdom and modern scientific research indicates that living with an abundance of thankfulness is one of the most powerful and health-inducing spiritual practices known. As part of this, you might consider keeping a gratitude journal where for just a few minutes in the morning and at night, you simply write down a few things for which you're grateful. And in the absence of pen and paper in the moment, I just want to start by asking you to take 30 seconds. Maybe close your eyes. You don't have to, but it might help. Take 30 seconds and name to yourself as many things that you're grateful for in this moment. Begin. A few more seconds, squeeze them in there. Okay. Now, this is not a contest, but who had at least 5? At least 10? 15 or more? Yeah, so you can, if we try, if we pay attention, if we think about it, we can come up with some pretty good ones pretty quickly, can't we? So that's just simple practice. And one of the most basic gratitudes is the gratitude of another day of life. And here's E.E. Cummings on that subject. I thank you, God, for most this amazing day, for the leaping greenly spirits of trees, for a blue, true dream of sky, and for everything which is natural, which is infinite, which is yes. I, who have died, am alive again today. And this is the sun's birthday. This is the birthday of life and love and wings and of the gay, great happening, illimitably earth. How should tasting, touching, hearing, seeing, breathing, any lifted from the know of all nothing, human merely being, doubt unimaginable you? Now the ears of my ears awake, and now the eyes of my eyes are opened. This awakening of ears and eyes is another way to say that his consciousness expands. He achieves greater spiritual wakefulness. And when that happens, his gratitude cup overflows. He becomes what I'll call present to the presence. The presence of a greater interconnected reality. And maybe today you wish to cultivate greater presence in your life, to the magic of life, to direct sensory experience, to feeling a profound connection with other sentient beings. Poet James Wright describes such an experience of deep presence, and perhaps he had no other choice but to call his poem a blessing. Just off the highway to Rochester, Minnesota, twilight bounds softly forth in the grass, and the dark eyes of those two Indian ponies darken with kindness. They have come gladly out of the willows to welcome my friend and me. We step over the barbed wire into the pasture where we have been grazing all day, where they have been grazing all day alone. They ripple tensely. They can hardly contain their happiness that we have come. They bow shyly as wet swans. They love each other. There is no loneliness like theirs. At home once more, they begin munching the young tufts of spring in the darkness. I would like to hold the slenderer one in my arms, for she has walked over to me and nuzzled my left hand. She is black and white. Her mane falls wild on her forehead. And the light breeze moves me to caress her long ear that is delicate as the skin over a girl's wrist. Suddenly I realize that if I stepped out of my body, I would break into blossom. Wow. Anyone besides me want to break into blossom in their lives? Yeah. This shimmering lightness of being is a result of mystical awakening, of the soul awakening to a greater reality than our everyday mind allows. Sometimes we're graced to have this flood into us suddenly, but often it's the result of sustained spiritual practice, a disciplined approach to being awake and watchful. So maybe you want to cultivate more discipline this spring. And a Cherokee folktale from the book of Native Stories, Keepers of Life, told by Joseph Brechak, describes the challenge of doing this. The story is called Why Some Trees Are Always Green. And since the word medicine is used in the last paragraph, I'll remind us that medicine in the native sense means your inborn power, your soul strength, the innate sacred gift that you have to contribute to the community. Why some trees are always green. When the plants and animals were first made, they were told to watch and stay awake for 7 nights. All of the animals and plants wished to do this. They knew if they did not sleep, they would be given some special sort of power. The first night passed, and all of the animals and plants stayed awake. It did not seem hard to them, and some of the animals and plants even began to boast about how easy it was. When the second night came, it no longer seemed so easy for all of them, and some found it very hard not to fall asleep. When the next night came, some of them could not stay awake any longer, and by the fourth night, nearly all of them slept. When the seventh night ended, only a few had stayed awake. Among the animals, only the panther and the owl had not slept. So they were given the power to see in the dark. From then on, the panther and the owl would be able to prey on those animals which had failed to remain awake and watchful and now must sleep each night. Among the plants, only the pine, the spruce, the hemlock, the cedar, the laurel, and the holly had remained awake and watchful. Because they were faithful, they were given the power to remain green all year round, and their leaves would hold great medicine. But all of the other plants would have to lose their leaves each winter because they did not endure the test. Not only that, but they would also have to fall asleep until the warmth of spring came again. So it is that to this day, when people go out to fast on a hill and pray for their medicine, they remind themselves that they must stay awake like the cedar and the spruce and the pine. They must look into the dark with the vigilant eyes of the panther and the owl, for great medicine never comes to those who are not watchful. Easter comes late in the Christian church calendar this year, but of course that legend of death and resurrection has its roots in ancient pagan celebrations of spring. And you might remember, some of you who are familiar with that story, that Jesus asks his disciples to stay awake in the garden overnight, the Garden of Gethsemane, while he prays. And all of them fall asleep. And he comes back and says, "Can't you stay up with me? It's important to be awake and watchful in the service of our spiritual growth." And in our earlier reading, Victoria Safford talked about testifying to resurrection, to the resurrection of life in the spring that comes from that ancient pagan practice that morphed into the Christian story. And now Max A. Kutz tells us that we need to welcome this same process in ourselves. His poem is called Seasons of the Self. We need a celebration that speaks the spring-inspired word about life and death, about us as we live and die. Through all of the cycling seasons, days, and years, we need the sense of deity to crack our own hard, brown December husks and push life out of inner tombs and outer pain. Unless we move the seasons of the self, and spring can come for us, the winter will go on and on. And Easter will remain a myth, and life will never come again, despite the fact of spring. This brings us to the fact that it's not always easy to crack our hard December husks and to grow. And in fact, sometimes it hurts like heck. Remember that the Easter narrative contains plenty of blood and suffering before the resurrection part of the story. And maybe we wish to cultivate strength and courage this season in order to free our hearts. And Francis C. Anderson Jr., in his poem called To Free the Heart, says we needn't be afraid to suffer for that higher good. Through dreary, sodden days, the field sponged up the graying skies, and now the sun lies soft as birth again, as if the earth had just begun. And blossoms on the vines designed in spring come out to sing again. And everywhere the ripening pushes fallen leaves apart to free the heart for freshening. As through the seasons of our years, becoming often waits the nourishment of tears. Becoming often waits the nourishment of tears. But with the tears, through the suffering, comes promise. The promise of new life and a brighter future. And when we stay with the process, when we trust our openings as holding immense potential, which they do, we can witness the astounding in our lives. Diego Valeri describes this with simple eloquence in a short verse called An Eye for Miracles. You who have an eye for miracles, regard the bud now appearing on the bare branch of the fragile young tree. It's a mere dot, a nothing, but already it's a flower, already a fruit, already its own death and resurrection. And finally today, maybe we wish to cultivate one of the ultimate virtues, love, which of course can take many forms. We talked earlier with the kids about service, about love in action. And in her poem, Touched by an Angel, Maya Angelou speaks to how many of the things we've touched on today culminate with love. We, unaccustomed to courage, exiles from delight, live coiled in shells of loneliness until love leaves its high holy temple and comes into our sight to liberate us into life. Love arrives, and in its train come ecstasies, old memories of pleasure, ancient histories of pain. Yet if we are bold, love strikes away the chains of fear from our souls. We are weaned from our timidity. In the flush of love's light, we dare be brave. And suddenly we see that love costs all we are and ever will be. Yet it is only love that sets us free. So now, in the spirit of freedom, of awakening, of deep presence, of watchfulness, of cracking our protective shells, and persevering through pain into the miraculous promise of new life and big love, I invite us to essentially repeat our joys and sorrows ritual. I hope you all will. You don't need to. It's totally up to you. But we're going to switch out water for dirt, and we're going to switch out stones for seeds. These are crystal seeds. And I'd invite you, and when the music starts, to just come up and plant your seed in the dirt. What spoke to you today, or what else is stirring in your soul this spring, this vernal equinox? And what do you want to cultivate throughout the summer and reap in the fall in your life? So, as I say, there are some crystals, some seeds that are smaller, larger. You can pick more than one. But just come on up, put that energy into the stone, and put that energy out into the universe in a prayerful way, and let that gestate and generate in you through these next weeks and months, okay? After that, we'll have one more reading to close this portion of the service. So I invite you up as you etch at your pleasure. I invite us to read responsively in your hardback hymnal, number 547, toward the back of the hymnal are the readings. I'll read the first parts, and you'll read the italicized passages. Because I guess I'll preface that by saying that planting is an important first step, but cultivation, it really brings the fruits as time goes by. So this moves us sort of from spring into the summer energy of cultivating what we plant. Now blows the wind with soft, relaxing warmth.
The sun beats down, schools are out.
Children swarm in the playgrounds and the streets, and eager city folks, vacation-bound, crowd the broad highways. What of ourselves? There could be now deep peace, a time for soul searching. To sift the true from false in the things of doubt.
The beautiful from ugliness and the marks.
The sun beats down. It is time for pause. And shall not we? Here's the unfinished clay, half molded, that still waits on us. Still yet have to become. I invite us all into that spirit of becoming for ourselves, for each other, and for the world.